So the question this week is, what is it like adjusting to not having a boss? So I don't, I kind of a long backlog of these at this point. I don't remember where, I should probably like document this better where these things have been asked and in what context, but I don't recall off the top who was asking this, but a lot of the folks that might ask this in the community or in the hit subscribe Slack are often full-time employees before they go off on their own. So if you have been a full-time employee for your career, it's probably pretty natural to wonder what it is like not having a boss if that's all you've ever been used to. So I'll talk about that here. The first thing I want to say is, like, I hear somebody say a lot, or people say a lot when they go off on their own, something like, "Oh yeah, you think you don't have a boss, but really you learn the clients are your boss." I don't like that trope. The clients are not your boss, or they shouldn't be. If the client feels like your boss, there's one of maybe two things going on. Either you have gone, and I've talked about this before, I'll put it up on YouTube if I can find it, but you've either gone kind of a staff augmentation route, and you are a contractor working at a client site where you do have somebody that looks a whole lot like a boss or a manager, and maybe even calls themselves that. So basically, you're a staff augmentation contractor, and you actually do have a boss. Or if you're saying the clients are your boss and that's not the case, it might be that you're just taking on a very subordinate kind of role with respect to your clients and letting them push you around. Because, I'm not just saying this, the clients really shouldn't be your boss. They're more like partners, like you have a business arrangement for them, they're paying you to perform a service. But you ought to be some kind of expert in the service delivery. And in some ways, they ought to probably be deferring to your expertise. No, I mean, not on everything. It's their money. They can kind of, ask for things at spec or what have you, but they shouldn't be ordering you around as if you were an employee or something. So I don't even mean this in just the sense that you might be a contractor. Like, there's something wrong if it feels like the clients are your boss. I guess I just wanted to get that out of the way up front. I don't like that because I feel like most people would pop right into your head, like, "Oh yeah, you learn that the clients are your boss." That's not a healthy outlook if you're going off on your own. The clients will certainly have a lot of input into what you are doing, but it shouldn't feel the way that having a boss feels to you, or something is off. It'd probably be another video for me to talk about like why that is and what. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole. Because the question here is, what is the adjustment like, or what is it like not having a boss? So I guess when you go off on your own, the shift that you're going to have, and maybe out of the gate you do have some kind of staff augmentation arrangement or whatever, but like assuming you kind of get off on your own, and let's say you're doing a service where you're going to have a few different clients at once, or maybe like a larger amount of clients at once, shorter engagements or something along those lines. You will have an unprecedented lack of structure to your work, going off on your own. And for me, I really liked that. So one element of not having a boss, to me, I'm an outdoor cat. I don't know if I was probably over the long term meant to work for other people. And it is a while in my rear view now. I don't think I've had a boss for probably a decade, close to that. No, I guess 8 years. Anyway, so for me, it wasn't really my bosses. I always get along well with my bosses. It was more that there was institutional crap, like bureaucracy. You typically it wouldn't necessarily be your boss do it, but you'd have to go and like watch the regulatory compliance videos or sign off on the thing that where you agreed not to do corruption. If you work for an enterprise, those of you who have probably know what I'm talking about. All these CYA things, all this organizational bureaucracy. And that's really before you even got into the elements of your craft, tools that upper management forced you to use, or all kinds of different things like that. So in an organization of any size, there's a lot of decisions that are made for you. And quite often you may not agree with those or fully understand them. They might feel stupid to you or restrictive or whatever it may be. So you go into work and there's just all kinds of policies and all kinds of stuff that you have to do that you didn't really sign up for. A lot of sexual harassment training because people before you were not decent human beings. There's a lot of things beyond your control. When you hang out your shingle and freelance, you immediately get back a lot of that control. So you are not forced into using particular tools. You're not forced to go to certain kinds of meetings. You're not forced to do an awful lot of things. And that, in the shortest of terms, can be quite liberating. I remember, you know, just loving that out of the gate. There were so many, there was so much, you know, unnecessary stuff I could cut out of my day. And then beyond that, you could even take things you believe as a matter of principle and incorporate them into your business. I mean, within reason. But for instance, I probably controversially think job interviews are just a dumb thing and that they shouldn't exist. So I've created, or, you know, Amanda and I created It Subscribe, and then we've grown this business without ever doing job interviews. That's just not a thing we do. And, you know, being my own boss, you have the power to do stuff like that if you so choose, assuming you can be successful. And I'll get to that in a minute. You maybe just really don't like the idea of email. And so I'm going to run my whole business without ever sending emails. You can make decisions like that. And as long as you're able to stay in the business, it's your business, you can do as you will. And that is great. It kind of eliminates the problem where you're forced into decisions you don't like or into things you don't believe in. Now, obviously, there's a mitigating factor here. So if you were to explain to prospective clients right when hanging out your shingle, like, oh, I don't do email, they would probably say, okay, well, then I don't do business with you, because that's how I communicate. So you don't have like unlimited power there, especially in the early going where you might not have a lot of leverage. Now, if you had built up a successful practice in this email example, and you were used to working with clients, you were in demand, you would probably, first of all, say something like, I don't do email, here's what I do instead. I get on a 1-hour call, which takes care of almost everything that we need, and then I deliver stuff to you through this customer portal that I have, which will generate all the emails you need. I do not check my inbox, that's not how this works. You can, once you're established and successful, you can, I'll call it get away with that, but you could do that. You would just have to provide other accommodations when stuff that you may not want to do is client facing. So right out of the gate, you have some ability to control relationships with clients and business partners. And then as you become more successful and established, you get more of that control. Likewise, you know, if the business backslid, if you had a sophomore slump in your second year or something, you might have to relinquish some of those things and say, well, I need to land some business. I guess I do email, or, you know, I don't like to respond to RFPs, but I guess I'll have to. So you know, I'm a little bit in the weeds here, but the idea is once you establish yourself outside of a company, you don't have a boss or a company telling you what to do, maybe through your boss, that is a very liberating feeling. So getting used to that part of it is, I would assume, for just about everybody, pretty easy, because that's the fun part. Just getting away from all the things you have been forced to do that you don't believe in, or that you found annoying, or would just not do if it were up to you. On the flip side, I have seen people struggle with entrepreneurship, seen people struggle with the environment of freelancing in general, or being on your own in general, due to a lack of structure. So the flip side of not having people telling you what to do is nobody's telling you what to do. And, you know, I'm not trying to be facetious there, but I more mean, if you have never had any experience operating in an environment of a lot of uncertainty, this can be tough. The lack of structure can be tough. When you go into work, I mean, this isn't like literally true, but you will have like a punch list of tasks that you're supposed to work on. If you have a decent manager at your organization, that person will probably have sort of a priority list of things that you do. So like, all right, you know, get direct assignments, you work on features or whatever. In the event that you have no features to work on, here are three other things in priority order that you could always work on, you know, always work on the documentation or whatever. So usually any decent manager organization will have an answer to the question at all times, what should I do next? When you go off on your own, you hang out that shingle and what should you do next? Well, it's really up to you. Should you build yourself a website? Should you make business cards? Should you start making phone calls to try to win business? Should you create an Upwork account? Nobody's going to answer that for you. Nobody's going to prioritize that for you. You have to figure all of that out for yourself. And it starts to go beyond that too. You don't just have to decide what to work on in what order, but there's subtleties there where you might also need to make decisions like, how long do I work on something before I pull the ripcord and decide it's not working? How long, you know, should I work on each of these tasks in a given week? How much time should I spend on the sales and marketing of my business versus the service delivery? So not just what to work on, but like time management concerns and decision-making that you're not probably used to making. Unless you're going off on your own to freelance after you've been in leadership for a while, the further you wander your way up the org chart, the more experience you'll probably have with stuff like this. But even for somebody who has been, you know, a VP or something, there is the element of personal accountability versus accountability to anybody else. So even if you kind of have those decision-making and time management skills, there's still the fact that, you know, assuming you haven't burned through your runway when you're new to the business on any given morning, instead of, you know, working, you could just watch cartoons or whatever, and nobody would, you know, give you any organizational demerits or what have you. So that's another failure pattern. The kind of lack of accountability that I've seen tends to make it so that you can do a lot of procrastination, or even good faith, like procrastination isn't not working, but even like good faith procrastination, like something I imagine a lot of software engineers watching out there would do, spend way too much time building your own website because you think that, you know, shows that you're good at building websites or something. So you could make bad business decisions that seem like good ones to a technician, and nobody is there to stop you. So there's like actual procrastination, lack of accountability, and then there's, you know, maybe non-strategic decisions that nobody's stopping you from making. So the entrepreneur mindset is, you know, different than if you've been an employee. And I kind of roping that in with the idea of not having a boss, it's just not having an organization telling you what to do. So I've actually seen people who think this sounds great, and then they get into the middle of it and they really struggle with it. It's, you know, fairly common for that to happen. Now, there are a lot of ways you can address this issue. One, a really good one with especially newbie freelancers is if you find a mastermind. So maybe you find a few other people that are going off on their own as freelancers. You can structure mastermind calls. If you don't know what a mastermind is, it's basically a peer group for entrepreneurs of some sort or another, founders, freelance practice holders, whatever. And you'll often get, you know, maybe there's three to five people, and they will get on a call every so often, you know, weekly, biweekly, monthly. And there are a few different formats for them, but the common themes that I've seen in these is one of mutual accountability. So you tell the group, you know, here's what I did over the last couple of weeks. Here are the big things that I'm planning to do over the next couple of weeks. And that can act as a check, you know, just, you know, like psychologically want to keep coming to the group and saying like, oh, I didn't do any of the things I set out to. So just, you know, kind of doing that quasi commitment can help you keep you focused and keep you motivated. And then the mastermind, there's a lot of note comparing, and sometimes there's a format called hot seat where you bring something you're struggling with to the group and they help you problem solve. The thing that I like about masterminds is something, and why I'd recommend one to any freelancer, especially if you're struggling even in the slightest, it provides some of the things that like organizational one-on-ones with a good boss would provide, the accountability, the check-in, you know, the guidance at times, because even though they're similar to you in their experience level, they'll have different ideas, different specific experiences, so they might have things for you. And it can be just a really good place to exchange recommendations like, oh, should I hire a bookkeeper or not? One of the other people in the mastermind says, oh yeah, 100%, I got this bookkeeper. You know, in fact, I can give you his email address. He's really good. So that can really mitigate some of the concerns of not having a boss. But it is definitely an adjustment. So it's an adjustment on the good side in terms of freedom and not being subject to myriad organizational stupidities. But there's a danger to it. The lack of structure can be very dizzying after a while, and you probably won't perceive it at first. At first, you'll be like, this is great. You know, the man can't tell me not to spend a week creating business cards. You know, instead, you'll learn later that that was a poor use of your time. So like, you just get taught hard lessons by life and a lack of business and a lack of clients or angry clients, instead of by a boss, you know, who is providing that structure for you. So the tail of those lessons can be longer and in some ways more discouraging, because you might be failing at certain things and not really even understanding why, because nobody's going to bother to tell you, hey, you shouldn't have worked on business cards for a week. That wasn't a good idea. you just have to kind of discover that. So I think of freelancers who are starting a practice, you know, if it's staff augmentation, that's almost more like having a job. But freelancers who are starting a practice or entrepreneurs, you probably have to be comfortable operating in an environment of a fair bit of uncertainty. You have to be able to prioritize pretty well and figure out how to kind of time box things and, you know, form a hypothesis. Okay, I'm going to, you know, for the next 2 weeks, I think this is enough time to give this a try. I'm going to do cold outreach on LinkedIn. I figure if I do 1 to 200 of these, that should give me a good data size. And then I'm going to pause and retrospect after 2 weeks so I don't keep executing a process that isn't working. You have to figure out how to think like that in terms of experiments, because nobody's going to tell you. There isn't any magical incantation. So you have to learn how to acquire that knowledge and hard-won experience for yourself. And that can be, you know, a challenge if you're not used to that kind of thing, especially if you've only ever been an individual contributor or a technician. If I remember, I'll put a link to this. I talk about this book a lot, but in the E-Myth or the E-Myth Revisited, it's an excellent book if you're thinking of going off on your own. The framework that this author talks about is that inside of us, in some proportion, there are three personality types. There is the technician, the entrepreneur, and the manager. And the technician is what you're used to doing if you're a software engineer, a graphic designer, or something where you're executing your craft. And the entrepreneur is the visionary, the deal maker, wheeler and dealer type of person. And then the manager is more cautious. I want to keep things running smoothly and the money coming in or whatever. So the engineer or the technician cares about craft. The manager cares about the status quo and making sure things go well. Entrepreneur wants to think big, make big deals. That's the person that's going to say things like, in my mind, you know, let's build a business with no job interviews. So I'm mentioning all those people because the other thing, or all those personality types, I guess, because what the author also says is that a lot of people who go off on their own aren't really being entrepreneurs. He says they have an entrepreneurial seizure. So you're really mostly a technician and that's what you like, but you get tired of the man telling you what to do as a technician. So you think, I'm gonna go off on my own. I could do this better than you idiots. You're doing everything wrong. I'm smart, I know all this. So they go off on their own after that entrepreneurial seizure, and then they behave like technicians. They get really into the weeds of their craft. They don't want to do sales and marketing. They don't want to think about the business. They don't want to keep leads coming in like the manager. They don't want to swing for the fences like the entrepreneur. They want all that to kind of go away and just execute their craft. If that's you, you're going to need to make some kind of adjustment, because when you're operating in pure technician mode, you have an organization that's built on top of you in the form of bosses and such that kind of poke at you to try to technician you in the right direction so that you don't spend 3 weeks on business cards or, you know, some font on the website because you're really into that problem and you just want to win. That is not managerial or entrepreneurial behavior. So you need somebody to keep you on track and make sure those other facets of the business go. And without a boss, if you've only ever been a technician, that can be a challenge. So I guess I would say in summary, what's it like not to have a boss? It's great in the sense that you don't have stuff forced on you that you don't believe in or that you don't want to do. And that's real. It can be great in terms of, you know, your motivation and how you feel about the work that you're doing. But on the flip side, there's nobody to put bumpers in the gutters of the bowling alley for you and keep you on track. So you have to develop the ability to do that. You can't procrastinate and eat cereal and watch cartoons all week instead of working, or you'll fail. But you also can't really get into the technician weeds and treat your work as a pure craft and your business as a pure craft, or you will go off down blind alleys that aren't productive and you will also go out of business. So you really need to develop that ability to have a different sort of decision making and to kind of be the manager, technician, entrepreneur all in one. So hopefully that helps, and I will catch you all next time.